Now, we know that no children or teachers were hurt when the rocket launched. And to our knowledge, no vehicles on Virginia were either harmed for the rocket. Let's open with a prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, which is a day that we celebrate the Trinity. Lord, we are reminded of the great work of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on behalf of us and on behalf of all the world. And Lord, may we be your agents to proclaim this great work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the world. May we be your agents. May we be your hands and your feet and your ambassadors to be the light of Christ, to share the life and word of Christ, and to walk with those through life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today is Trinity Sunday, and what a perfect day with all the children to talk about one of the most complicated mysteries of the Christian faith, right? The Trinity. And we have for centuries done our best trying to articulate, paint an image that helps people better understand the workings of the Trinity and how things function from the Trinity's perspective in the world, and you can only imagine how difficult and how challenging this task is. But we've tried. For example, water has been used throughout history to try to teach children about the Trinity, because water can be a liquid. You can freeze water and it becomes ice. You can heat water and it becomes steam. And yet, in all these different forms, it still remains what? Water, right? Three in one. But even a simple example like that breaks down when we're really talking about the Trinity, because liquid, ice, and steam can't be all of those things at the very same time as God is. Another example used throughout the ages for children to try to understand it in some way is that of an apple. When you look at the apple, there is the outer skin of the apple. There is the inner core of the apple. There is the meaty center of the apple. And so there you have three in one: the skin, the inner core, and the fleshy part that we eat. But again, the skin of the apple isn't the same as the core, nor the core the same as the meaty flesh. God the Father isn't only part God, but completely God. God the Son isn't part God, but fully God. God the Holy Spirit isn't part God, but fully God. It's not that the Father is one-third God, the Son is a third, and we need the Holy Spirit if we're going to complete this thing, right? That's not the fullness of the mystery of the divine Trinity. And so as much as we might fail at times, we try, but we quickly come to the realization that the mystery of the Trinity can only be explained in part, but much of it is incomprehensible and is beyond our understanding. Now, that being said, while the Trinity can be beyond our comprehension, it's not to say that the Trinity is not God with us, also in the person of Jesus Christ. You heard Pastor Bray read Matthew 28, 16 to 20, and there you heard your Lord Jesus say in the very last words of this gospel, "I am with you always, even what? To the very end of the age." God has come down in the person of Christ, and in Christ, He is a God that is also with us. If we were to turn our attention to the beginning of Matthew's gospel in chapter 1, there we would see that God the Father sent the Son, and the Son was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by way of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was born into this world, God taking on humanity and held in the arms of His mother. 30 years after that, we have the account of Jesus stepping into the waters of the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist. He answers the call to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, which always causes us questions on the Sundays we celebrate the baptism of Jesus, because we think, what did Jesus need to be baptized from? He's sinless. But this is the moment of the beginning of his public ministry. Jesus goes into the water that he might identify with you and me and our humanity. He goes into the water to remind us that he stands with us. He is a God alongside us, and in some ways, he even stands in your place and in mine. 3 years after the baptism of Jesus, Jesus stretches out his arms and he hangs and he suffers at the cross on Calvary. Not for anything that he had done, but for all the things that we have done. It's there where he faces the threat of death and succumbs even to death on a cross, so that we might not fear that death, so that he might remove the sting of death when it comes to you and me. He goes to hell and he proclaims his victory over sin, death, and the devil, so that you don't have to worry about the torments and the threats of hell. For this God with us, Jesus, is the one who saves you and I through his life and death from the very flames. It's this Jesus who walks with us, always forgiving, always bringing healing in this life, if only temporarily. It is always him who walks with you to turn your eyes to the goodness that the Father has blessed you with in this life, no matter how challenging it may be for you. It is this Jesus who walks with you and I and breathes forgiveness into our life and makes us new creations and reminds us we're not identified as the person we were, but the person whom we now are because of Jesus Christ. So, the Trinity is not only beyond us, but the second person of the Trinity is with us, and even more so, the third person of the Trinity is in us. You heard Jesus say to his disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I have commanded you." God is not just the Trinity beyond, but the God with us and the God in us. And it is because of the Spirit in us that the Scriptures begin to make sense. It is because of the work of the Holy Spirit that the Scriptures begin to illuminate the truths and the promises that God has delivered to us in Christ. It is the Holy Spirit in us who helps us in a crazy world to begin to discern God's truth from the lies of the world that are told to us to be true but are not. It is the Holy Spirit in us that speaks to us in moments of our life and says, are you sure you want to do that? It's the Holy Spirit who speaks in our life and says, having done that, let me take you to the one who died and rose on your behalf. Let me gather you at his table that you might hear these words, that your sins are forgiven. The Trinity can be beyond us, but it is with us, and it is most certainly active in us. So how do you experience yourself, the Trinity, his work in your life? Well, I'm going to give you one real simple way for you to experience the work of the Trinity in your life. You ready? Here it is. Take a walk outside. Now, we've moved from spring to summer, so I understand it can be quite miserable as we get into the depths of summer. But hey, know that even when your body is sweating and soaking your shirt, it's happening because of the work of the Creator in your physical life that you might cool and not pass out in the heat, but drink water too. But one of the things I love, if you go around some of the wonderful pathways here in McKinney, is I love this, is I love when I'm on a walk, a bike ride, or a run, wherever it is, I love the smell of honeysuckle. Anyone else love that smell? Now, you have to get kind of far from Bonnie Wink Dog Park to smell this, but when that smell fills you, you're immediately reminded of how expansive, how majestic, and how beautiful God's creation was, and how you are the most special part of that creation, whether it's seeing the flowers, or some of you don't even mind the hint and smell of pollen. Some hate the name pollen and what it does to you. But you take in this beauty and you see this is the effect of the very hand of God who's given me the eyes to see and the legs to walk to enjoy just this piece of his creation. And then you continue walking and you reflect and you're reminded of all the places that the Lord Jesus has walked with you in your life. Some of those have been some great places for you. Some of those you realized that the Lord Jesus may have been the only one walking with you because of the sin that you committed. People left. Jesus did not. When he says, I am with you always to the very end of the age, he doesn't say, I'm only with you when you do the right thing. That's a lot of people. You have a lot of friends like that, right? As long as you're winning and successful, I'm your friend. Any scandal and brokenness in your life, well then, I'm going to distance myself. That's what people do. It's not what Jesus does. Jesus says, I will walk with you through all the highs, the lows, the good things, the bad things, and everything. Why? Because my love for you is endless. You can think of the people that Jesus brings around you in your life that you're thankful for. And then as you continue to walk, a verse might even come into your mind and says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us what? Rejoice and be glad in it. That's the Holy Spirit pointing you to the promises and work of Jesus Christ in your life. In one walk, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You heard the kids read another verse from Psalm 8 this morning that says this. When I look at your heavens, O Lord, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars which you have set in place. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you care for him? On this Trinity Sunday, while there is much we might not fully comprehend as it relates to the mystery of the Trinity, please, brothers and sisters, comprehend what we do know, and what we do know is this, is that God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is with us, and He is most certainly in us. And I close by saying this to all of you. Go and take a hike. Actually, I just said it that way because I want you to go home and tell people that your pastor told you to take a hike today at church. But no, take a walk, take a ride, take a stroll, whatever it is. Get in your golf carts. Only in McKinney can you drive around in golf carts. And experience the grace and the goodness and the magnificence of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who in light of all of creation is mindful of you and is for you. We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we cannot gather enough words of praise and gratitude for the work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in our lives. But Lord, we try. We thank you. We're grateful, we're humbled, and we're blown away that yet again on this Sunday you invite us to this table where our Lord Jesus is actually really present in, with, and under the bread and the wine to make us new creations, to embrace us, to draw us near to himself, and to send us on our way with his name upon our lives. We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.